Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great love of God that we have experienced, and even we are experiencing, even through the wilderness. Scripture says he led them through, even like a flock. Ah, Lord, you didn't just throw them in the wilderness. You were right there every step of the way. And I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding on here this morning to be able to know the love of God that passes any situation. To know and understand the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of Christ that God has placed into our lives. And Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word, it brings light. It gives understanding. Let it shine the light into our hearts this morning from the word of God. Let the word of God prevail in our hearts and in our lives over every situation. In the name of Jesus, the word of God, a lamp indeed to our feet and a light to the path ahead. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning, good afternoon again, everybody. We will be doing part two of the lesson from yesterday delivered by Sister Lola. I actually asked her to continue this morning and finish it up because she was rushing to the end there and there was just a whole lot more. But she's not available this morning on account of work and so forth. But, you know, I'm going to try to pick up this lesson because we haven't done quite justice to it. This subject of navigating through the wilderness is perhaps a very, very deep subject and taught throughout the Bible in so many places, hundreds of scriptures literally that have to deal with, you know, people passing through wilderness experience. And it is just so pertinent in our times. We see even on this platform, we come on in here and we hear of different things, you know, that we're going through. And there's a reason. And, you know, we thank God for Stalola did a marvelous job yesterday breaking it down, you know, and how we get into the wilderness in the first place. The one I want to focus on today, just a couple, I want to focus particularly on God leading us to that wilderness experience. That's right. You know, there are other times too, you know, when we talked about yesterday, we talked about, you know, it can be a solitary place. It can be a place where, you know, you feel all alone, you know, and there are times that we indeed feel like that. So I'm going to be dealing on just, you know, but I want us to do more of a sharing today. I've just covered a few things, but I want us to talk more about it. We haven't quite done justice to this subject, you know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, and the most significant stories of the wilderness experiences that we have in the Bible are the ones where the Lord actually led them into that wilderness. Greatest example being Christ. You know, Christ, we're told in Matthew chapter 4, I mean, verse 1, I mean, Christ had waited 30 years to be unveiled, you know. As according to the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6, that to us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And from the time that he was born until the time he will be presented as a son, he waited in preparation for 30 years. Most of it in silence, but then visibly, even after his presentation, the Spirit of the Lord would drive him into the wilderness. My goodness. I mean, can you imagine that? We just saw a presentation, a powerful presentation coming out of the water being baptized of John. Heavens opening up, the voice of the Father being heard. You know, John even seeing the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And you would think that in that moment, Holy Spirit would drive him you know, not into the wilderness, you know, but, you know, through the streets of Galilee and different places right away, begin to heal the sick, you know, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, do all these things, bring wellness to people and begin to do his ministry, begin to preach. No. First, Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness as if the 30-year preparation was not enough. You know, now he has to go through some more. And listen to this, this powerful prophecy that was given in 1619. And I will read just a portion of it. Some of us read it in Brother Frisbee's writings called the Scroll Book, but it wasn't given by him. Neither was it actually even given by Charles Price. It was way before both of them. But they copied those writings from a certain Jane Lead, who wrote and gave this prophecy in 1619 and said, some trials will be absolute necessity for the clearing away of all remaining infirmities of the natural mind, and a burning away of all wood and stubble. Nothing must remain in the fire. As a refiner's fire, so shall he purify the sons of the kingdom. Some will be fully redeemed, being clothed upon with a priestly garment after Melchizedek order. And they will, this will qualify them for governing authority. Therefore, it is required on their part. Notice, it is required on their part to suffer the fanning of the fiery breath, searching every part within them until they arrive at a fixed body from whence the wonders is to flow. Hallelujah. Upon this body will be the fixation of the Urim and Tumim, as explained and shown in Exodus 28 and verse 30. This Urim and Tumim are the portion of the Melchizedek priesthood, whose descent is not counted in the genealogy of that creation which is under the fall, but in another genealogy which is the new creation. Hallelujah. Well, some trials will be absolute necessity. And let's talk about that. We talked about it yesterday. Let's talk about it some more. Why in the world would the Lord drive Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? You know, openly now, he's been going through some things for, you know, 30 years. And now, out in the open, he's going to be tested some more. But still, he will be alone. You know, there are certain times that you will be alone. You know, you have to go through this wilderness journey. Even when the children of Israel, even though there was a lot of them, you know, that were in there, the experience would still eventually be personal, because the ones that did not believe the Lord fell and perished in the wilderness. And even though God was at that moment dealing with them as a group, he needed also to separate them as individuals. That's right. Now, there are times when we go through this wilderness, you know, that, of course, this wilderness experience is not necessarily always a pleasant thing. In fact, for the most part, it's a very unpleasant situation. But nonetheless, you know, the Lord takes us through, you know, for a reason. Hallelujah. You know, and when we are going through that wilderness, the psalmist put it this way. He said, my days are consumed like smoke. You know, he's talking about when he's going through his troubles, wilderness, he prays and says, Lord, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. I like to say, in the moment, in the experience of the wilderness journey, it's a journey through the desert, really, you know, where do you think the Lord is at? Is he there by you and with you? Psalm 102 and verse 2, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble, in the wilderness, I might add. He said, for my days are consumed like smoke. You know, sometimes we feel like that. My bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I even forget to eat my bread. You know, sometimes we go through stuff. You know, I mean, food is the last thing on your mind. Your mouth is, you know, I mean, dry. You can't even think of eating. Forget to eat your bread. It said, by reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. Now, this is his wilderness journey. I am like an owl in the desert. I feel all alone. That's what he's saying. I watch, and I'm as a sparrow, alone, upon the housetop. He said, even my enemies reproach me. They look at my, you know, wilderness situation, and they reproach me, you know. And, you know, he said, look, I've eaten ashes like bread, mingled my drink with weeping, you know, and all these things. My days are like a shadow that declineth. I'm withered like the grass. I mean, are you kidding me? This man experiencing, you talk about solitary. You talk about feeling all alone. He felt it all. And there were times that he was running from one place to another. His life was in constant jeopardy. Yesterday we talked about David as a young man being anointed for the kingdom and for the throne, you know, in his father's house. But he did not ascend onto the throne for a considerable time afterwards. And his preparation, some of it, a lot of it, was running helter-skelter through the wilderness. Even from the time that Saul, you know, brought him in, tried to bring him under his own influence. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon David. Saul began to be aggravated and trying to kill him. He would throw javelins, would throw a spear, would just try to kill him for no reason. Of course, he was envious that this young boy would have, you know, such glory and honor. And he knew that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And David had to run for his life. For the most part, helped by Jonathan. Run from one place to another. I mean, he was supposed to be king already. But lo and behold, there was a lot of training that he yet had to go through. And God prepared him through that wilderness experience. The Bible says in Psalms 78 and verse 52, there was something that the Lord also wanted and would have had the children of Israel to experience. Some of it they experienced, but the outcome was not what God wanted for them, you know. There was a reason why he made them to pass through that way, so that when they saw war and other things, they would not easily return to Egypt. Didn't want them to be easily discouraged. So it took them through a long journey, make it harder for them to easily turn back, because he knew they would turn back in their hearts. And there were some things also that he was, you know, going to teach them, but, you know, they did not surrender even that situation to the Lord. You know, so we need to surrender every situation, you know, the ones, you know, sometimes the Lord brings us through, you know, without damage, but sometimes we experience damage. It is just the way it is. He said, look, he made his own people, Psalm 78 and verse 52, to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. I mean, he led them on safely. I mean, he was with them, this pillar of fire and everything like that. And there was the best of the experience that he would bring through of them, they missed because they didn't trust the Lord. You know, they did not trust the Lord. They murmured against the Lord. They questioned the Lord's motives. Did he bring us out? Why did you bring us out here to kill us? You know, they forgot what the Lord told them. You know, that look, I'm taking you out of hard bondage. I'm taking you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You know, that was the idea and the goal. And the, you know, target, the destination was the promised land, not the wilderness. You know, they were supposed to pass through the wilderness, but the destination was the promised land. But while they were going through the wilderness, they murmured against the Lord. They did all kinds of crazy stuff. They tempted and provoked the Most High, we're told. You know, they kept not his testimonies, but they turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. And they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger, you know, with all the things. They moved him to jealousy with their graven images. You know, they even said all kinds of things against the Lord. They moved, you know, with insurrection against the Lord. They said, look, we'll rebel. We'll go back, you know. And the Lord was angry with them. And many of their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They even, murmured against the Lord for food. He gave the food to them. And while the food was in their mouth, we are told that he slew the fattest of them. You know, let our experience and our wilderness journey not be one that we end like that. These people did not make it through their wilderness journey. They died in the wilderness. We should not die. I'm not going to die in this wilderness. I'm going to make it through the into the promised land. That's where we're going. We got to get through this wilderness. We should not perish in the wilderness. But, you know, many people will perish because they forgot the intent of the Lord taking them through the wilderness, that it's just the wilderness. That's not, didn't bring you out of Egypt to go into the wilderness. He brought you out of Egypt to go into the promised land. You may pass through the wilderness while you are at it, but the promised land is where you're going. You know, but when we forget that, we get to be bitter, you know. And I want to also talk about, you know, some situations we may find ourselves, you know, sometimes also because of whatever may have happened, you know. We may be running away from something like Moses was and ended up in the wilderness. You know, we may be cast away, you know, like Hagar was with her son Ishmael and end up in the wilderness. You know, you may be running from one thing or the other. There's so many stories and many of them we heard about yesterday. Now, how you got there is not too relevant. You are there, you're there. And sometimes we even got into difficult situations through our own foolishness, lack of wisdom, or whatever. We can end up in a solitary, forsaken place when we don't even use prudence and understanding. You can end up feeling all alone. And there was a young man that came into great wealth. Some of you know him as, you know, part of that prodigal son story. And he was premature, actually. He wasn't fully ready. Father didn't want to give it to him. Not quite yet, but through pressure, you know, well, Father gave it to him. And sometimes when the Lord is withholding things from us, maybe it's because we're not ready. It took Jesus 30 years to be ready. Father withheld that presentation from him until 30 years later. So this boy, he got a hold of all this wealth and went down to Sin City and began to squander it all. He brought this upon himself through riotous living, leading with harlots and all kinds of things. And at the end of the day, he felt all alone. Well, he brought it upon himself. But the best part of this story, as far as I'm concerned, is that at one point in time, someday, in the middle of his loneliness and feeling all alone, he came to himself, came to his senses, said, "What in the world am I doing here? Well, I better return to my father's house and plead for his forgiveness, because even in my father's house, servants are better than the situation I find myself in now." Well, he brought that upon himself. But yet, there was restoration. And so whether it is the Holy Spirit that drove you into that wilderness, he will, if he's the, you know, or if it is yourself, you brought it upon yourself, or it's people that put it upon you, you know, like drive you away from your husband's house. I think I was, I mean, giving to the wife to Abraham, but, you know, the Sarah was, you know, jealous of her eventually and said, "Look, get rid of her. She will not be, her son will not be here with my son. Get rid of her." And so on. Whatever the reason you find yourself in the wilderness, the angel of the Lord still found her. Here is the promise that I want to talk to us about today. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, God will bring this to pass in your lives. What are the state of your wilderness at the moment? Here is the end state of how it'll be. This is the promise of the Lord. You know, he will turn that wilderness around. The wilderness and the solitary place. Isaiah 35 shall be glad for them. The desert even will rejoice and blossom. Hallelujah. God has a plan to bring it around. He will blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. Glory to God. Now, this is the way that the Lord has a plan to turn your wilderness around. He said, even in the wilderness shall waters break out. Isaiah 35, you know, and verse 5. The eyes of the blind be opened, deaf ears unstopped, lame man leap as an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. The habitations of dragons and so forth. All of these things will change and that highway shall be there. And God will call it the way of holiness. Well, you learned his ways through that finally. You know, God will cause us to experience certain things in order to bring us to this place or called the way of holiness. You know, well, finally, we've learned his ways. You know, no unclean thing will get in there, but it shall be called the way of holiness. The redeemed will walk in it. Ransomed of the Lord shall return. A powerful prophecy. A lot of people can apply it to the millennium and different things, but hey, you know, the word of God, this word can apply for your situation that you're going through. Just like the Lord said, you know, in the book of Isaiah 43, he gave this powerful promise to us, you know, that he can turn the wilderness into something else. Praise the Lord. What will he turn the wilderness into? He said, well, I will do a new thing, Isaiah 43 and 19, and shall you not know it? Will you not finally be able to smell it? What the Lord is cooking? You know, he said, look, I will even make a way in the wilderness, no matter how you found yourself in that wilderness. I will make a way. and in the places where they have been called dry and desolate and unfruitful, I will bring forth rivers. Huh, that's right. Rivers in the desert to bring and give drink to my people, even my chosen. I will give waters in the wilderness. Hallelujah. You know, and I will bring even waters and rivers out of the dry places. He said, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I mean, all of the things that you are going through will bring forth the praise of the Lord if we endure. The lesson through the wilderness is for us to remain joyful in the hope and expectation of the end. Proverbs 23 and 18 says, surely there is an end. There is an end to the wilderness journey. Well, how is it going to end though? That's the question today. How will the wilderness journey end? For many, many, literally hundreds of thousands, perhaps even a couple of millions, for them, it ended in them being perished. Well, for a couple and some others that were birthed in the wilderness, that's right, they made it to the promised land. So how this journey is going to end, but let it end with our expectation not being cut off. Proverbs 28, 23 and 18, surely there is an end and your expectation shall not be cut off. What is the expectation? Well, the expectation is what is called to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Well, what kind of thoughts? I mean, a lot of people quote this scripture, but when it really matters most, we forget. You know, the times of our wilderness, remember, the thoughts of peace are not of evil. Even though it looks like you may be going through things that look evil, there is something that the Lord is cooking out of it. He can use your wilderness experience. He can use your situation. He can use your life. He can use your upbringing. He can use, you know, your past, your present, even things that will be in your future. You know, they are all ingredients. You might remember our lessons on, can you smell what the Lord is cooking? Put all of these together to bring forth an expected end. The expected end. What is the expected end again? It's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. All these things that you are going through, these solitary moments, the times that you felt all alone, that you felt like a pelican, you know, in the wilderness, that you felt like an owl in the desert, that you felt like a sparrow all alone on the top of the roofs, the time that you were in a dry place, in a solitary place, all forsaken. You try to call your friend, but they are not there. You look around, there's nobody but you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he will bring you through. It is called making all things work together for your good. Because you love the Lord and his hand is upon you. He has ordained this. There are some things that we must experience alone. It's also called the Gethsemane experience for Christ. Nobody would pray with him. He experienced it all alone. He called upon his most trusted disciples. They went with him everywhere, these three. Even when they mount transfiguration in different things and so forth, these were the ones that he would take with them, with him. Anytime he didn't want to take all 12, he just wanted a small group, he would take these three. And in his darkest moment, in his darkest hour, he would take these three again. And he would go, but even no matter how far they went with him, there was a place he had to go alone. And so when he had to enter it alone, he said, look, stay here, but I need your help. Pray with me. Just stay here, right here though, but I got to go through this. So he went a few yards deeper into the garden, and they were supposed to be praying outside, but he was all alone because they didn't pray. They left him all alone. Ladies and gentlemen, in your Gethsemane moment and in your wilderness moment and journey, you will be all alone. Something you got to go through by yourself. It might turn out to be a juniper tree experience. And you may come out there and say, Lord, I feel all alone. I'm all alone. They have killed your prophets and this and this. And there's none that turned after the Lord. But the Lord said, well, yeah, but really, you're not all alone. I've got others, you know, but that's how it feels sometimes. But, you know, scriptures tell us that, look, there's nothing new under the sun. There is nothing that you are going through today that somebody hasn't gone through. And even some other people are going through the same things. And Elijah thought he was the only one. God said, no, you're not the only one. I've got others. You may not see it because where you are right now, you can't see that. You feel all alone, you know, but I am with you and I have others as well. You know, take courage. You will go through your wilderness moment alone. You will go through your Gethsemane experience alone. And there's one more place that you must go alone. All of this is to get you into the most holy place. There's only one person that goes in there. And he went, well, in the olden days, they didn't go in too often, just once in a while, once a year and so forth. But for us, since in Matthew 27, the veil was rent after Christ died, the veil was rent. You know, all the separation that say you can't come in here was broken. Now you must enter into that most holy place, but it's one-on-one. Ladies and gentlemen, all the wilderness experience, all the journey and so forth must lead us to this one-on-one experience. God is teaching you through all those experiences to learn to deal one-on-one with the Lord. Because in the most holy place, again, it's one-on-one, but this time it's for something else. But you've got to get the practice of dealing one-on-one. One-on-one. You go all alone. Now, but you don't really have to go all alone. And you doesn't really have to feel like that. Because I will never leave you, nor forsake you, saith the Lord. Remember that it is the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8, that doth go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43 and 2. You know, when you are experiencing those things that look like the flood to overwhelm you, the fire to burn you, take you out, the Lord said, I will be with you. You will come out on the other side. But you must trust him through the process. Put your hands in my hand, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. For I will help you and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So there are these things that we must experience. And so that's just the wrap up that I want to give today. I want to encourage us to listen to yesterday's lesson again. A lot of scriptures. She broke it down perfectly, why we must go through and what the kinds of wildernesses we must go through. And for the most part, there is a purpose. We must learn his ways through going through those things. And, you know, I said also, you know, during the review session that if you don't learn the things that you're supposed to learn, you may have to go through it again. I mean, why go through that for the, you know, a second time, you know? And if you drop the jewel, he showed me in that parable that I told you yesterday, for those who may not have heard it, I said, the Lord, knowing that I love those parables, he often spoke to me in parables, who showed me things, and I knew it's a parable. It's the kingdom of heaven is like this, and he showed me things. And this one parable was like a man that had to climb several flights of stairs. And after each, you know, set of stairs, there is a little landing. And when you climb the first set of stairs, the first flight, you get there, you have to pick up something. That's a little jewel that's waiting for you. You know, you're going to put it at on your crown, but the crown is when you get to the very top. There's no crown yet, but you pick up these jewels all along. You know, and then, but you never knew. You thought the first set of flight of stairs that you went through, you thought that was the end. Because you've been climbing, struggling. You got there and say, ah, finally. And then you take a breather, you see the jewel, there's no crown. But you pick up that jewel. And then you look up. And then you say, oh my goodness, I'm not at the top yet. And it's impossible to see the top, really. All you see is the next set of flight of stairs. And then you have got to make your way up through that as well in order to pick up the next jewel that is on the next landing. And then as you are climbing, you drop that one jewel that you picked up. And he sends you right back. You got to go pick it up again. So ladies and gentlemen, what you might experience, spiritual maturity in building spiritual capacity demands that you pick up those jewels and don't drop them. You build on what you have. You can't throw away any of those experiences. If you throw it away, you got to go through it again. The only way to go through it one time and not again is for you to pick up the jewel that's waiting for you at the landing. But the devil is going to make sure you don't get there to pick up that jewel. You know, he's going to try everything, frustrate you, weaken your hands, do all kinds of things, weaken your mind. It may come through any means. The discouragement may come through even closest people. And there are some of the things that I want you to learn that even, you know, some of these wildernesses may even come after great revelation and great things, some trials and testings and so forth. Now, Peter was a man that experienced tremendous revelation knowing who Christ was that others didn't know. Jesus said it himself. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And I applauded him, you know, gave him some blessings. But right around not too long after that, this same Peter became a stumbling block to the Lord. So we need to be careful. Jesus' experience, I mean, look at Jesus. You know, little known at first. I mean, some people have, you know, all they see him around is with his family that's a carpenter, you know, and so forth. And Mary had some other children. So Jesus had some brothers and sisters and so forth. And they just knew that he grew up in the house of this carpenter. People didn't know too much about him because he didn't reveal himself. You know, even his brothers in John chapter 7, his own natural brothers tell him, look, there's no man that doeth things in secret and yet wants to be known. They thought Jesus wanted to be known. Go up and show yourself already. And Jesus wouldn't do it. I mean, he was always in hiding. But one day, you know, the Father presented him. My goodness. I mean, what a voice that came. What a honor. An honor that came to him, you know, coming out of that. And, you know, he submitted himself to that. John said, I can't do it. You know, I should be baptized of you. Jesus said, let's do it to fulfill all righteousness. And when he came out of that water, my heavens opened up. My goodness. This is my beloved son. Wow. What a benediction. What a honor. What a glory. But right after that, you're going into the wilderness. My goodness. I mean, you've just been exalted above everybody else. God never announced anybody as he being his beloved son and everybody should listen to him. Never said that to nobody else. But yeah, after all that glory and that revelation, you're going into the wilderness. But when you come out of that wilderness, you'll be stronger. And you go through and the devil will come back again. Some things may be from the devil. Some may be from the Lord. Some may be from ourselves making mistake or whatever, you know, but The Lord will be with you and strengthen you through it. And that's the lesson I want to share with us today. Someday, when Lola is available, she can come back and give us some more lessons on that. But I wanted to, because we rushed, she rushed through the end, towards the end, and we rushed through it yesterday. I wanted to give us an opportunity to unpack this lesson even some more today and look more closely at, you know, the things, you know, that the reasons why the Lord may take us through, but that there is a promise at the end of the wilderness. The solitary place will become a fruitful place finally. That one place where you thought, you know, you are all alone, you're going to find out you're not all alone. Jesus said there is no man that has forsaken anything and feels all alone, but eventually will get, you know, hundreds of more brothers and sisters right here. You know, you discover that you're not alone, you know, and as solitary place will turn into a fruitful garden finally. Ha! And that expectation will not be cut off. Remember, though, that while you're going through, let me end with this. While you're going through, here's what the scripture says. He said, look, you know, rejoice while you're going through. In James chapter 1, we're told, rejoice when you're going through trials and temptations. Well, those temptations, that translation there is not the temptation for sin, is the temptation which is called trial. Because you'll see that in the next verse, it talks about that. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, which is those diverse testings, that translation is a bit poor in the King James, worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, you know, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And here is how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12. You know, from that powerful chapter where he's telling us, you know, how to conduct our lives, you know, how to present our bodies, a living sacrifice unto God and all of that. And then he comes down here in verse 12 and says, you know, rejoicing in hope. The hope and expectation that the end is near for the wilderness journey. Though sorrow may endure through the night, Psalm 30 and 5. There is a day that is around the corner, ready to break. A break of day is just around the corner. And the night cannot last forever. Your wilderness journey cannot last forever. But you must not perish in the wilderness. You must endure through the wilderness. Patient in tribulation. While you are going through, be patient. Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently on the Lord. The Lord heard me and brought me out of a miry clay. He'll bring you out too. Continuing instant in prayer, steadfast in prayer. So as you go through, remember the expectation is that you come into the expected end, which is all things will work out for the glory of God in your life. The wilderness will eventually be turned into a fruitful land. God will bring forth, you know, waters in the wilderness, rivers for you finally in the desert. But the experiences that you learn through each wilderness phase of your life, there's no guarantee that you will only experience a wilderness only once, or there may be different kinds. But the particular wilderness experience, you may experience it only once if you pick up the jewel that it was intended. But there will be others. Even the scripture says the devil went away for a season. He'll come back again after that. So, ladies and gentlemen, rejoice even during your tribulation. That means things that God may not turn around. You may be believing God and praying that God will turn this thing around He may not turn it around, but he will turn it around. He just doesn't look like he has turned it around yet. See, but we can't see tomorrow. We can't see the days ahead. God already seen it. And so when we're going through, it looks like, well, you know, God is not answering. Well, he knows what he's doing. He's turning that thing around eventually, and he will. But can you smell what he is cooking right now? He says, shall you not know it? Well, I'm doing something. But won't you know it? Well, we can know it through the Spirit. It may not have entered into your heart. You may not have been told of it or seen it. But God will reveal it to you through the Spirit. Eyes have not seen, ears have heard, and so forth like that. You know, the expected end that God is preparing for you, if you make it out of this wilderness. Jesus calls them the overcomers. To them that overcome, hallelujah. You got to overcome. You got to overcome all the things in the wilderness to get to the promised land. And there were many that fell along the way. But to the overcomers, Joshua and Caleb and the generation that was born in the wilderness, they entered in. And to him that overcometh, Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 21, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm granted to sit with my Father in his throne. To them that overcome also will I give him power over the nations. And then that overcome, but you must overcome each of these wilderness journeys. If you overcome, I will give you a new name, a white stone, the new name written. I will give you power over the nation. I will give you the morning star if you overcome. And if you overcome, I will make you a pillar in the house of my God. You will no longer oscillate back and forth, but you're coming through. And if you overcome, finally, you will inherit all things. Revelation 21 and verse 7. You will inherit all things, saith the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to bring that in. Like I said at the beginning, I asked Sister Lola to continue this today, but because of job and so forth, she's not available, but I want to continue anyway. So I just brought that little piece, and then we're going to dive in and discuss more on the topics that we learned from yesterday, reasons why we may find ourselves in the wilderness, what the wilderness journey itself may look like, but what the end goal is. You know, I want us to focus, you know, when you're going through that wilderness, that a wilderness journey is not an end in itself. We're not supposed to come into the wilderness and perish there. We must pass through the wilderness and get to the promised land. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of the scriptures, the admonition of the scriptures, the comfort of the scriptures, the encouragement of the scriptures, and again, the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. That as we go through this wilderness that we are in now and the other wildernesses that may lie ahead, we know one song says, you know, a journey through the wilderness. My God, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. We know that you know the way, Lord, and we surrender our will even to you. We surrender even the pain and the suffering to the Lord. We surrender even the disappointment when it looks like the Lord did not answer. We surrender that even to him. Let him use all these things as ingredients in preparing that meal, that sumptuous meal that at the end that he will plate and serve and he'll give the expected end. I pray, Lord, that give us all courage. And as we, you know, go through that, we also encourage others and lend a hand to others also that may be going through that day. All of us together eventually will come out on the winning side. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.